I want you to listen very carefully to my opening comments this morning. Sometimes we kindly look at the first few words of introductory statement as being less important than the rest. My opening statement is the most important thing I've got to say. I want you to hear it carefully. There is no middle ground between honoring God and despising Him. You got that? There is no middle ground between honoring God and despising Him. If God is not honored, something else is honored above Him and God is despised. Either we honor God or we despise Him. There's no middle ground. Now the title of my message this morning is The Most Certain of All Laws. And you'll find it in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. I want you to look at it. You know the context. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had sinned against the Lord and taught the people to despise and abhor the offering of the Lord. These men who were supposed to be the priests of God, and these men to whom God had given this sacred office, abused the priesthood, used it for their own comfort, satisfaction, and delight, and even took the daughters of the children of Israel, the wives of those who came to worship God, and committed adultery with them at the door of the tabernacle. And God told Eli, because he did not restrain them, because he did not use the authority God had given him to correct his sons, he was going to kill them and take the priesthood from his family. Now that will give you the background for our text. Look at what it says. The Lord God is speaking. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Way back in the days of Aaron, God had made Aaron to be the high priest. But because Aaron sinned against him and his sons followed their father's pattern, God took the priesthood from the house of Aaron and gave it to the fathers of Eli and said, you walk before me and be my priest forever. But now Eli and his family have turned against God. And God says, I'll take it from you too. He says, I said it, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me. I cannot allow you to continue to represent me. I cannot allow you to continue to bear my name before the people. I cannot allow you to continue to speak for me to the people of this world. He says, far be it from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We're told in verse 29 that Eli honored his sons above God. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who had caused the children of Israel to abhor the sacrifice of the Lord. And that sacrifice was more than just a ceremonial offering. That sacrifice was in type and picture according to God's commandment, Jesus Christ Himself. And Hophni and Phinehas had taught the people to abhor the sacrifice of atonement. And when Eli heard the report of his son's wickedness, he restrained them not. Over in chapter 3 and verse 13. His sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. That's the cause of God's judgment upon them. Now read, if you will, in chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. He couldn't help but hear it. He didn't live with his head in the sand. and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto his sons, why do ye such things? Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And then he raises a question. A question man be smart to raise. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not to the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now that's the way Eli rebuked his sons. You might think, well, the old man had learned to be gentle and tender. But God saw it differently. God saw it differently. God calls his gentleness despising him. You see, there are other virtues in true manhood besides gentleness. Sometimes a firm word of rebuke is needed. Sometimes severity is required. When the honor of God's at stake, gentleness is treason. And here God's honor was at stake. And Eli looked upon his sons and spoke to them with gentleness, lest he should offend his sons who had greatly offended God. And his gentleness was treason. Men today call it bigotry and sectarianism to speak with plainness. The world praises the preacher, the prophet, the priest, who never offends anyone. Oh, he's so nice. So nice. He's always has a pleasant disposition. He's always got a good thing to say. But God blames him. The days come for God's servants to do what Eli should have done, to speak plainly in God's name. Did you notice how Eli's sons responded to their father's gentle persuasion? The scripture says, notwithstanding, they hearkened not to the voice of their father. He spoke so kindly and so gently. He said, now boys, you ought not to have done that. You know this is not a good thing. You know now boys, you ought not take another man's wife and commit adultery, much less in the church. You know that you ought not to have led the people to despise the Lord's offering. You know that. But Eli's sons did what they had been doing all their lives. They laughed in their daddy's face. They just laughed at him. Because the Lord was determined to kill them. You see that in verse 25? Because the Lord would slay them. That simply means that they had gone so far in their sin that God permitted them to go on further still because he was determined to have no mercy upon them. They had gone in rebellion and Eli restrained them not, and God said, all right, go on and have your way. I'll give you the fruit of your way in the end. Eli's actions were considered by God to be a direct and absolute contempt for him. The same thing is true of every act of disobedience and every neglect of known duty. All disobedience, all neglect of duty implies a preference to our will, to our interest, to our pleasures above the will and the honor of God. To neglect God's salvation is to despise his son. That's the reason Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To neglect salvation in Jesus Christ is to despise Christ. It's not just to kind of be passive or indifferent. You who will not look to Christ, who will not trust Christ, the problem is you despise Jesus Christ, and God will not look lightly at it. He won't do it. To resist God's will is to despise his dominion. Well, I'm not interested in God's will. I'm interested in my will. I'm not interested in what God declares. I'm interested in what I want. I'm not interested in what God requires. I'm interested in my way. To neglect His will and resist it, to despise His dominion, to disregard His word, it's to despise it. Just despise it. God's given us His word. He's given it to us in our language. And He's preserved it for us. Do you realize that some of God's saints died to translate this book into your language and give it to you? Do you realize that? Do you realize folks were put to death because folks didn't want you to have this book in your hand? But we take it, pick it up when we decide to go to church, carry it with us. Be sure we get one that's real nice, Morocco leather. Don't just hard covers. Let's get a nice one. So it looks pretty, but never read it and refuse to heed it. To despise God's word, to neglect God's words, to despise it. Oh, what's that? Oh, word of God. So what? So what? You see, Eli's sons stood before him here. And God stood before him here. And Eli had a choice to make. He had a choice to make. And he made it. Eli preferred his sons to his God. That was his problem, wasn't it? That was his problem. He preferred their harmony. Oh, I don't want to do anything to upset my sons, but he might not ever speak to me again. He preferred their harmony to God's honor. He preferred their smile to God's sacrifice. He preferred their pleasure to God's praise. Therefore, God killed his sons and took the priesthood from them forever. Forever. I mean, God said, Eli, I'm not just going to kill these two boys, but I'm done with your household forever. 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 My friends, God demands that we honor Him. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you that despise my name. And you say, well, wherein have we despised thy name? how did we do that? How did we do that? Mother Don, you've been talking in riddles. Get to the point. How have we despised God's name? Well, I repeat, there is no middle ground between honoring God and despising Him. And if God will speak through me to your hearts before you leave here today, you're going to hear that. There's no middle ground between honoring God and despising Him. No middle ground. Without question, Eli was a true believer. I'm certain of that. He judged Israel for 40 years. And his heart trembled for the ark of God. He was a believer. When God told him, said, Eli, I'm going to kill your sons. He sent Samuel, the young prophet. He said, go tell Eli I'm going to kill his sons. It's his fault because he didn't restrain them. Eli said, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. Merle, that's a true believer, talks like that. When his sons were away and they were, and the battle was raging, Eli was an old man now, 90 years old, I think he was. He was blind and he sat by the wayside and somebody came and he said, how's the battle going? Because his heart trembled for the ark of God. And they said, the battle not going so good. Your sons are dead. And Eli just sat there and then they said, the ark of God is taken. And Eli fell over with a heart attack, broke his neck and died. He was a true believer. He trembled for the ark of God. And yet this man, a true believer, failed to honor God in the matter of his two sons, and therefore God took both his sons and his priesthood from him. Now I want you to see that what we have before us in our text this morning is the most certain of all laws. There's no changing it, no escaping it. God says, them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Sooner or later, God will reward all men according to this rule of infallible justice. Now you can bank on it. You can bank on it. In the light of that fact, I pray that we will each judge ourselves that we be not judged. Many a man whose life and family have been plagued with sorrow and grief can trace the bitter stream of their woe to this cause. He has not honored God. I had a fellow tell me a while back, he was finding an excuse to justify himself for the neglect of God, His worship, His gospel. And he said, Don, I tell you, seems like my family and I are always in a crisis situation. Don't understand it. I'm afraid I do. Mr. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, if we had seen the sin that was hidden from human eyes, we should have understood the sorrow that was evident to all. That is, if we saw things like God saw them, we would understand why God does what He does in the lives of men. Now this is a law that will never be broken. Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If we honor God, God will honor us. And if we despise Him, God will treat us lightly. That is, esteem us lightly. Let me give you some examples. Lot was a righteous man, wasn't he? God said he was. But Lot failed to honor God. And he suffered the consequences in his family immediately and forever. I mean, his family never knew God. His daughters never knew God. His wife perished under the wrath of God. His grandsons never knew God. Lot and his family suffered the consequences of Lot's neglect. David was a righteous man, but he failed to honor God in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, and he suffered the consequences in his family. The sword never departed from his house. Eli was a righteous man, but he failed to honor God, and he suffered the consequences of it. Listen to what God says. He says, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Merle, if we had good sense, that'd make us stand up and pay attention. If we just had half good sense, that'd make us stand up and pay attention. God says, I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers upon their children and their children's children for four generations. That's what it says. All right. Here then is our duty in all things. Honor God. Honor God. Every Sunday school child who has been taught anything at all understands that the chief duty of man is to glorify God. The one thing that God will have from every creature is honor. Now, He's going to have it one way or the other. You will either honor Him as you seek to live for Him or honor Him in His judgment upon you, but honor Him you will. Every creature is going to honor God. And this is where Eli failed miserably. He did not reprove his sons for their wickedness, but neglected the authority that God had given him to correct his sons. He manifested more regard for the feelings of his sons than for the honor of God. Children of God, if you never hear my voice again, you hear this. Will you? Hear this. You young people, if God never lets me speak to you again, you hear this. Make the honor of God the chief concern of your life. Did you hear that? Make the honor of God the chief concern of your life. I know we can add nothing to God's honor, and we sure can't diminish it. God's glorious with us or without us. However, we do greatly affect the regards of others toward Him. Lindsay, you and I are the occasion of men either honoring God or blaspheming God. That's right. That's in our households, we're the occasion of our wives and children either honoring God or blaspheming God. Because we're God's representatives in this world. Now, what we do in our own attitude toward the honor of God is reflected in all who are around us and all who are under our influence. Oh, how careful we ought to be. Our God deserves to be honored by us. He's done exceedingly abundantly for us. Above what we could ever ask or think. He chose us to be His sons and daughters in everlasting love and never turned from His choice. He sent His Son who shed His blood on our behalf and put away our sins, redeeming us to Himself that we might be His sons and daughters forever. He preserved us in all the days of our rebellion. In all our transgression and all our ungodliness and all our unbelief, His hand of mercy was upon us. His hand of grace was directing us until the time that He sent His Spirit to call us. He revealed Christ in us. He gave us life when we were dead. He gave us faith when we had nothing but unbelief. He reconciled us to God when we were His enemies. And He's kept us. Oh, God. God has made Himself known to us in a way that the world has never seen. The world sees the glory of God in His creation. They see His wisdom and His power. Oh, but God's made you to see His glory in the face of Jesus Christ, Brother Ives. I mean, He's shown Himself to you like He hasn't shown Himself to anybody else around you. He's made us to see His glory in the face of His dear Son. The glory of His grace in the redemption and salvation of His people. Let me speak plainly. Because we declare the believer's absolute freedom from the law and refuse to bring God's children under any yoke of bondage. Because we don't set up rules and regulations, say do this and don't do that. Folks say we are ambiguous. Now, let me take away all ambiguity. Let me give you some perfectly clear ways by which to honor God. Follow me in the Scriptures. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Some of you are sitting out there who don't know God. And maybe. Oh, maybe, just maybe, just maybe. God's dealing with your soul and you want to know, Pastor, how can I honor God? How can I? It begins right here. Honor God by believing. Honor God by believing. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 5 and verse 22, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And He says, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. That all men should honor the Son. Even as they honor the Father, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's what it is to honor God. It's to believe on Christ. To honor God is to look on Jesus Christ, His dear Son, as the all-sufficient salvation, all-sufficient redemption, all-sufficient righteousness for all who trust Him. To honor God's to believe Christ. Will you believe Him? Will you believe Him? Will you now test your helpless soul on the merits of Jesus Christ? That's what it is to honor God. Secondly, honor God by confessing your sin to Him. Oh, confessing your sin. What on earth does that mean? It means to open your heart honestly before God and acknowledge your guilt, your depravity, your corruption, and God's justice in punishing sin. That's what it is to confess sin. Some people think that confessing sin, we get the idea from watching folks go in and out of a confessional booth on television. And they go in and say, "Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned." Or, "What have you done? I had some dirty thoughts." Or, I stole a $100 bill. Or, I didn't show up on time for work and clocked in anyway. Or, I committed adultery. Oh, that's not what it is to confess sin. No, 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 no. You're dealing with little branches out of here. You're cutting off the branches. To confess sins, get to your heart. Bible's to get to your heart. And acknowledge what you are in your heart. This is what it is. Have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, O God, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression. My sins ever before me. Against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Buddy, what David was doing there is he's saying, God, whatever you do in the punishment of my sin, it's right. It's right. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. Your punishment of sin is right, because God, I've nothing else but sin. Honor God, thirdly, by submitting to the rule of Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's not a once for all thing. James, Christ keeps pressing us every hour to submit. And we keep struggling with it because our flesh doesn't like it. But this is what conversion is. It's the believer bowing to the rule of Christ. It's losing your life to Jesus Christ. That's what it is. You folks sitting here today who don't know God, never been born of God's Spirit, you haven't yet come to Christ, you haven't yet closed with Christ, I know the reason, and you do too. You do too. It's not that you are just, you made up your mind you're going to hell. That's not the problem. It's not that you don't believe there's a heaven. I rather doubt there's anybody here of a skeptical mind. It's not that you don't believe this book is the Word of God, or even that you don't believe the doctrines of grace. I doubt there's an Arminian in the household. Well, Pastor, what's the problem? You don't want to submit to Christ. That's what the problem is. That's all. I know because I've been there. I've been there. My problem when God began to deal with me was not that I didn't want to be saved. I wanted to be saved in the worst sort of way, but I did not want Jesus Christ to be the boss of my life. That's it. I had things under pretty good control, and I wanted to keep them that way. I'm going to tell you, if you're ever saved, you're going to submit to Christ's rule. If you honor God, you're going to submit to it continually. To honor God is to trust His unerring providence. What on earth are you talking about? Oh, brother Job lost his sons and his daughters and his wealth and his reputation. And finally, even lost his wife. She didn't die, but she got bad enough he wished she had died. And his friends. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what I mean by trusting God's providence. It is bowing to God's disposal of all things with gladness of heart. Bill, he's too wise to err. He's too good to do wrong. And he's too powerful to fail. No reason not to trust him, is there? He's our Father. He's our Father. Trust him. To honor God is to extol his greatness. David said three times over in the Psalms, I will extol my God. Oh, extol him in your doctrine, so that every doctrine you hold to extols the name and majesty and greatness of God, and extol him in your prayers, and extol him in your songs of praise. We have hymns in our hymn book we never sing because God's not extolled in them. What we sing because God's extolled. We want to honor his name. Like Nebuchadnezzar, I will extol the King of heaven, all whose ways are truth, and I know that he is worthy of it. For he's God. He's God. Honor God by rejoicing in the Lord. God's elect ought to be the happiest people beneath the sky. Sometimes I cannot imagine a man having experienced what I experienced from God's hand. With Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in me to comfort and guide me, to sustain and keep me. Why should I not rejoice? Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what we've been through. No, I don't. I don't. But I know what Christ has been through. And I know he's been through it for us. And I know he bore our sorrows in his body. I know he bore the pain that we deserve, and we ought to rejoice in him. When I can't rejoice in my family, and I can't rejoice in myself, and I can't rejoice in the world, I can rejoice in God my Savior. Honor God by consecrating yourself to him. And to him alone. What do you mean, Don? I mean obey his word. Obey his word. Whatever you find written in this book, do it. Do it. Obey it. Not in piecemeal. Well, I like this part. I don't like that part so good. Obey it all. Obey it all. All the doctrines of the Word, all the ordinances of the Word, all the teachings of the Word, obey the Word. Consecrate yourself to Him as to seek His will. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you have heard this before, some of you haven't. Shortly after Shelby and I started dating, she didn't really know what she wanted, but I knew full well what I wanted. I planned on marrying the girl. And we began to look at things rather seriously. And here's a text of Scripture that we've read together a lot of times over the years. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's not a better word of exhortation to any of you. Trust him with all your heart.
And lean not unto thine own understanding. I don't know which is harder, to trust him or not trust yourself. I don't know which is harder. But as long as you trust yourself, you won't trust him. Whenever your understanding of things leads you away from trust,
don't pay any attention to yourself. That's what he's saying.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. He'll do it. I promise you he will. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be life to your soul. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. You see to it you honor God with what God puts in your hands. You do it. Do it. Oh, Pastor, I've got bills to pay. Honor God with your substance. Pastor, I've got to meet obligations with my family. Honor God with your substance. Honor God with your substance. With the first fruits of your increase. That is, bring the first things to God. You see, giving throughout the scriptures, even under the law when tithing was demanded, giving is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. I had a fellow tell me one time years ago, young couple, they were trying to scratch out a living, get by. The fellow said, well, you know, we always pay our bills first and get our groceries and then we try to give God what we can.
And I said, give God what you want to give him first. And then if you can, you can buy some groceries and pay your bills. But that's not reasonable. Oh, yes, it is. Most reasonable thing on this earth. I'm telling you it is.
How can you say that? To give God what I need is to trust God to supply my needs. That's what it is. To give God what I have use for is to trust God to make a way for the things I need. Honor God by loving each other. We had that lesson this morning. Oh, children of God, love each other. Love. And this is God's promise to all his saints. Them that honor me, I will honor. Now I can tell you something here. I'm not as old as some, but I'm older than many. And I've been in this blessed kingdom of grace longer than a good many of you. For 25 years, I've been walking in this way. And God says, them that honor me, I will honor. He's never failed to do it. I mean never. This is God's promise to his servants. I was talking to our friend from Scotland who was here this past week. He's talking about preachers having to do this, having to do that. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. I'm God's servant. I am God's servant. That means I don't have to compromise anything ever with anybody. That's right. And if I compromise to keep your favor, Bob, I'm your servant, not God's servant. If I compromise to keep you smiling at me, I'm your servant, not God's servant. If I compromise to keep your security that you give me, I'm the servant of your money, not God's servant. God's servant doesn't have to compromise. God will honor who honor him. It's God's promise to every household. Every household. You honor God in your house, God will honor you in your house. Now he'll do it. He'll do it. It's God's promise to his church. Our business is to honor God. That's all. That's all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make one bit of difference in this world what the world thinks,
what the political world, the ecclesiastical world, the secular world, it doesn't matter what anybody out there thinks. Our business is to honor God. It means we've got no other business. We have no other business in this world. God will honor us if we honor Him. And this is God's promise to every believer. Them that honor me, I will honor.
Let me show you. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want you to see this. Mark the 10th chapter. God promises us that if we honor Him, He'll honor us even in this present life. In Mark chapter 10, verse 30, our Lord Jesus says, He shall receive, or verse 29 rather, Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this present time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands
with persecutions
and the world to come. What on earth is he talking about? You listen to that nut out there, Tilton. He reads that text. Oh, God promised you if you give up your house, He'll give you 100 houses. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. Let me tell you what it's talking about. I have no house of my own. But I have a house everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world. Literally. I'm going to have to spend the night at your house in a couple of days. That's my house. My house. And if I was up your way, buddy, I'd go spend the night at your house. My house. I've got brethren everywhere. Now I've had to give up some. I've got 10 folk. My soul is pained to be around them. Around them just because of 10 folk, and after an hour or two, let's go somewhere else. This is getting a little heavy. Because we got nothing in common. Absolutely. But brethren, shoot, I've got them scattered all over the world. I mean, all over the world. Family, all over the world. Our Lord Jesus asked His disciples, said, you complain about what you've given up? Did you ever lack anything? Lack ye anything? Anything. You who serve God, answer me. I've been young, and now I'm old. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Have you? Have you? Have you ever lacked anything as you sought to serve God? Anything? Anything? Back here in our text, back in 1 Samuel, Hannah asked God to give her a son. She was barren. Her womb was dead. She said, God, give me a son. God gave her a son. You know what she did with it? She got him weaned and she brought him to the temple of God and said, God, here he is. He's yours. He's yours. You know what God did? Look in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel and verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, Hannah, and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman, For the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home. She brought Samuel, said, Here he is. I've given him to God. Eli said, The Lord bless you for it. Listen to what happened. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. You know what Mr. Spurgeon said about that? He said, God always pays good interest on his loans. And he always does. He always does. You will never impoverish yourself by serving God's honor in this world. Our Lord Jesus said, You follow me, and my Father will serve you. You can't mean it. Nope, he does though. He said, You follow me, John 12:26, and my Father will serve you. God Almighty will serve you. He'll serve you. Years ago, Queen Elizabeth, I presume the first, said to a businessman in London, I want you to go to Hamburg to attend to some business for me.
And that man responded this way. He said, "But your majesty, my own business will suffer in my absence."
And she said, "No, it will not.
If you attend to my business, I'll attend to your business." And I'm telling you, God says, "You attend to my honor, I'll attend to your honor." Well, how will God honor us? He may not give you fame in the world. I'll tell you what He'll give you. He'll give you respect even among your enemies. Herod killed John the Baptist, but he reverenced him. He feared him as a prophet of God. And God will give you influence in the world for good. Those martyrs who gave their lives for the cause of Christ, whose names we do not know, they were persecuted by the Pope, put to death by the Duke of Saxony, murdered by the Queen of England. We don't know their names.
But I'd heapsight rather be them and have their influence in the world
than be the folks who had the power, the authority, and the riches, and the strength to persecute them and put them to death, wouldn't you? Oh, I sure would like to have a throne. I've got a throne. I sure would like to have power!
Omnipotent God's my Father. Power?
I sure would like to be able to live without having to want for anything.
God says cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. You know what that means? If I need one, they're mine. That's just what that means.
That means if I'm hungry, God can kill a cow. God can kill a cow and send it to me. He can even fly it to me by a raven. Oh, you're talking silly now. Talking silly to anybody who doesn't believe God. God will give you peace. Oh, peace in your conscience. I can think of nothing more tormenting to a believer than to willfully neglect God's honor. I think of nothing more tormenting. None of us knows how much God's honoring him at any time. We look at fame as spoken by the breath of men. Shoot. Fame coming from the breath of a man. Why, that's just so much air. It's gone. Oh, there is a fame that comes from the throne of God among the angels of heaven and the saints in glory, even the demons of hell, that shall endure unto everlasting life. And God will give you honor in the end. He says, "You'll be my jewels in that day when I make up my jewels." And He will say to wondering worlds, "Come, you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." While the world stand back in astonishment. While the demons of hell and the nations of the world stand back in astonishment as God says to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I tell you what, you give me that, and you can have everything else there is. Everything. But there is a warning in our text. "They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." In this life, you have no hope. In death, you have no consolation.
In eternity, you have no mercy.
This is the most certain of all laws.
Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Which will it be for you? You can honor God or despise Him. Which will it be?